State University cows bred. I toured all the major Colorado feedlots in August of this year. I've never seen, and I'm an economist, if I can see heiferettes out there, they're out there. These animals are not getting bred. All our members across the USA, every state, Florida, we're having trouble getting these animals bred. Montana, we're having troubles getting these animals bred. Kansas, we're having trouble getting these animals bred. We need to fix this. We're wasting a lot of damn money selling animals in a cull market instead of having pregnant animals producing something. Cattle inventory, here's our forecast. We're already headed down slightly, and this is a soft landing cattle cycle. In other words, it's not going to collapse down. We're already in the liquidation phase, which is probably a shortened liquidation phase. Beef production is going to start going down. Beef production is going down beginning in 2020, second half. So in 19, we asked consumers to eat about the same pounds. We're going to ask them to eat about 6/10 of a pound less. That's all we're going to produce. And we're going to... Now here's the little, there's a little number down in the corner you can't see because it's off the screen. What was the really good cattle price year? 2015? We asked people to eat 54 pounds. We're getting really close to that again. So this dynamic in this sector, even though this year's been really painful, is switching very quickly on the supply side. Cattle feeding returns have been bad for 3 months. The December closeouts will be $100, $125, $150 a head. So cattle feeding is going from a negative for 3 or 4 months to a positive starting in December. What does that do for calf and yearling prices? Cattle feeders can't stand prosperity too long. They're going to start recognizing it. Here's what we think prices are due for the next few years. Slightly higher. Not as high as they were in 2015, but we're through the phase where they probably go lower unless something shocks the system, which can happen. In Nebraska, over the last 4 years, we've been between $2 and $12 premium to the Southern Plains. So when I talk about prices here on a quarterly basis on the red line, in 2020, we'll probably be back to prices we had in 2017. So here you take that 174 and add 10 to it. 2021, we're going to be higher. 2022, we're probably talking about Southern Plains cattle prices at 185, which puts you at 195 here. Now, things can go wrong. I didn't have to put up a disclaimer up there saying I'm a market analyst and I'm trying to fool you because I don't have to do that. But this is how the cards, it's like playing a bit fancy card game. A bunch of these cards are dealt, and I can tell you what steer and heifer and cow kill has been, and it's been amazingly large. So we're at the turning point. If demand holds together, 2022 can be pretty darn good out in cow-calf country. Not as good as 2015. Costs of production are still high. Not news to you all. In our cow-calf returns this year, 2019, the red bar, returns over cash costs plus pasture rent are going to be the worst since 1996. No wonder we feel bad out in the country. But look at our projection for 2020. 2021, I'm over $100 per cow over cash costs plus pasture rent. Of course, all of you have lower costs of production than on average, and all of your kids are above average, right? 2022, I could easily get up here to 120, 125, 150 return over cash cost plus pasture rent. If demand is still, we are not in a recession. That's a hell of a lot better than we've had this year or last year. And I have been wrong before. Here's my points. I made a little thing here. Am I done yet? Damn. So here's my little points at the end. So that thing says cow-calf perspective from an economist. I was going to write cow-calf perspective from an old fart economist, but I didn't want to put that on paper. That was funnier than you thought it was, Dr. Paisley. Marketing. Quiz for you all. What did we learn from DTP? Anybody know what DTP is? Was? Let me give you a clue. 1986. Dairy Termination Program. There's a couple people that their eyes just rolled in their head. It was a debacle. It was a debacle for the industry. The government mismanaged it. We bought dairy cows and we destroyed the red meat market. And then the government stepped in to fix it and they made it worse. And then the government stepped in to fix it and they made it worse again. 9/11. People like me quit traveling and we had a recession and beef demand shrunk and we had a cattle market that suffered. We had a cattle market that suffered with dairy termination. BSE. And now the latest Kansas fire. Those are the four events of my career. Now, we've had droughts in this industry. We've had overfed finished cattle that blew up the marketplace, that beat down calf and yearling prices. But these are the four shocks in my career that hit us on the side of the head with a 2x4, and we didn't know whether we were going up, down, or sideways. We didn't know whether BSE and consumers were going to quit buying beef. We didn't know what we didn't know if we were going to be able to sell the next year's calf crop. So these are shocks from outside the system that just, we don't have any gauge to say what the impact's going to be. What did we learn from all those? We learned that futures markets react quickly and you won't have a hedgeable opportunity. Even though it looks like you ought to be able to make money, the futures are going to be so dynamic and cause such shifts for people to delay marketings, do whatever, that it's really hard and it's going to be highly volatile. What else did we learn? We learned that if you're in cow-calf country and you have forage and you have patience, you can outlast it. We got calf prices today in some areas that are equal to last year. And by mid-December, they'll probably be at last year's, right? Now, if you're running a yearling operation, you have less window of opportunity. And you can't really, or if you're retaining ownership, you can't put them in a feedlot and lock in a profit, but that's probably the thing to do. Because every one of these situations in the past, we've made money doing that, but you couldn't use the futures market. And number three, if you have fed cattle, you don't try to beat the market. You don't try to outlast it. You're not going to. You're going to sell at lower prices. So you in cow-calf country have the flexibility, if you think about this, to manage these type of shocks better than anyone else. Second point, beyond the farm gate, how does markets work? This is from an old fart economist. Everybody in this business, on the production side, besides the cow-calf operation, is in a margin game. What does it cost for the animal? What do I get for my product? And how do I make a margin? You, cow-calf, are what economists call the residual claimant. You get what's left over. You got what was left over really good in 2015. You got what's left over really bad in 2019. But that's reality. You are the ones that drive the business and quality because of the quality of bulls and the animals that you have for the rest of the system. And you eventually get paid for that, even though it takes a while. So don't forget that everybody else is playing a different game than you are, and don't assume that they're playing the same game you are, because they're not. Managing. My view of management on the ranch is every year it's a sequential set of decisions, especially in drought years. In drought years, you have to decide what I'm going to do is the first stage, second stage, third stage as I phase through that. It's not a one thing fits all. I'm going to sell every year my calves at the Ogallala auction on the second week of December. You can do that. But you're not going to make as much money as if you sequentially look at this over that year. Do I manage by cattle cycles? I wouldn't bet the farm on it. A lot of economic research will tell you, try to gear up for the cattle cycle. The cattle cycle is, if you remember, it's much more dampened. It's much more less in play than it has been in my lifetime, my dad's lifetime, my grandfather's lifetime, and my great-grandfather's lifetime. All of those were on the ranch. So there's other things that are driving the markets more than the cattle cycle. And you might want to pay attention to those two. Cattle cycle is still interesting. Next, financing. Financial statements. This is, you know, who wants to do financial statements? Nobody in this room. What are the three financial statements? Balance sheet. Balance sheet tells you what you're worth, right? Assets minus liabilities, blah, blah, blah. It tells you whether the banker can liquidate you. You know that. Right, it decides if the banker can own your place and take all your money. Income statement, that's entertaining. Did I make money? Well, it's entertaining to your spouse or your mother-in-law or somebody like that, but you already know. Cash flow. This is the underutilized aspect. The cash flow is what's tied to your marketing plan. When you adjust your marketing plan, if I sell the heavy end of the steers and keep the light end, if I sell the light end, keep the heavy end, if I buy some stockers, all those fit into your cash flow. That ties to your marketing plan. And you discuss that with your family or whoever the decision makers are, and you adapt over time. It's that simple. And if you tie the marketing plan and the cash flow together, you will be making good management decisions. Forget the balance sheet, what you're worth. That's looking in the rearview mirror. You can do financial statements for your banker every year, and you can be just like your banker. What does a banker do? They drive it looking in the rearview mirror. That's exactly what they do. I've been a banker. I failed at it twice. Am I out of time yet? Damn. Got two more minutes to fill. So I don't want any damn questions. Okay. What do I do when I make money? I told you, this is an old fart economist. I made a list for you. Based on 2015, all these years. What I'm suggesting is here, this is tough right now. But I think we can make a little money in cow-calf country with some ifs, ands, or buts, right? So I have five things on what I do with my money. Can't even read it. And I divide, you know, now this is money I make after I pay myself, pay my management, and all that, right? This is really making money. It's not like sort of making money. Number one, put some money in your retirement account. Number two, pay my employees a one-time bonus. Now, if your employees are also your children, stress that this is a one-time bonus. Invest in a new kitchen at the home place. One of you got that. Invest in the ranch. In the good times. And save for your rainy day emergency fund. And my bias is those five items, if I make $100 per cow above paying myself, etc., I'm going to divide that by five, and 20% goes to each one of those activities. But think about, over the next year or so, because I think there's some reasonable potential that we might quit losing money in this cow-calf game, and we might actually be able to think about how we might do some use of some positive profitability. Thanks very much for your time. Have a good conference.